The Fifth War was ended by the Edict of Beaulieu in 1576, and this edict made enormous concessions to the Huguenots, and it marks fairly clearly the absolute rock-bottom position in the power of the crown. For the first time ever, the Huguenots of France were conceded free public and general exercise of their religion. They were permitted to own churches, to build new churches, to hold consistories and synods. They were allowed to fortify and garrison fully 80 towns as a guarantee of their rights, and crucially, to safeguard all of the privileges which had been granted to the Huguenots, special so-called mixed tribunals were created in the Parlement. They are called mixed because they were composed of an equal number of Catholic and Protestant judges to guarantee the rights of the Calvinist minority. Now, in a pattern that we've already seen before, the Peace of Beaulieu caused enormous outrage among the Catholic majority, which couldn't understand why, after so many years of fighting the so-called heretics, the heretics seemed to be getting more and more rights each time. And it led to the formation of an aristocratic body, which is usually called the Catholic League. The purpose of the Catholic League was to defend the Catholic Church and to absolutely extirpate heresy. Like the Huguenot coalitions during the Conspiracy of Amboise, there was a pretense of loyalty to the crown. We're only fighting to help the crown crush the Huguenots, but it's pretty clear that the Catholic League of 1576 was also governed by factional struggle all over again, in particular the factional interests of the Catholic House of Guise. The power of the Catholic League, indeed its defiance often of the monarchy, forced Henry III to act and show that he was indeed committed to the war against the Huguenots. But the Sixth and Seventh Religious Wars, which respectively lasted in 1577 for the first one and 1579 to 80 for the Seventh Religious War, these wars accomplished very little. They are notable really only for the collapse of former ideological boundaries. Both Danville and Anjou, the king's brother, fought for the crown now against their former allies in the Sixth War, and the Huguenot towns of the Midi remained aloof from Condé's struggle during the Seventh War. The second main trend I wanted to accentuate for the 1570s and 1580s was the growth of hostilities between and within the social orders. As may be obvious, a pattern of independent noblemen recruiting their own bands and waging war in their private interests had already become established during the civil wars under Henry III. And thus many of the so-called regiments of the 1570s and 1580s were really nothing more than bands of criminals, who normally engaged in kidnapping, horse thieving, plundering the peasantry, rape, other kinds of violence, and episodically enlisting in the private wars of local seigneurs and the factional struggles of the great nobles. Given this kind of a context, it's hardly surprising that the years 1578 to 80 saw the first major peasant uprisings of the period. Now, although the peasants had suffered clearly the most from the war, they were not alone in their discontent. The 1570s, and especially the 1580s, saw frequent complaints by the nobility about the purchase of the seigneurie by rich merchants and magistrates, the multiplication of venal offices, and so on and so forth. Now, these processes, the tendency of urban interests, merchants and bourgeois, to buy seigneuries and to buy venal offices, none of this really represented the replacement of the nobility as a class by the upper bourgeoisie, since the buyer of the seigneurie, if he wasn't already a noble, usually adopted a noble lifestyle. Instead, I think it's fair to say that these kinds of complaints reflect the anger of an established elite at the successful efforts of their former social inferiors to climb up into a position of higher status. Interestingly, and quite significantly, the senior magistrates, who are often called robins from their robe, themselves criticized the venality and excessive numbers of offices. So you have office holders criticizing the office-holding systems. The senior magistrates, it seems fairly clear, began to close ranks to block others from climbing the same path. And in a sense, what has happened by the later 16th century is that venality of office has created a whole class of minor administrative officials and minor legal officials who now find advancement barred to them by their social superiors in the judicial system. And they will take on a kind of political significance in the later years of the French Wars of Religion in the 1580s and the 1590s. We have now in this lecture followed the French Wars of Religion from the explicitly ideological conflicts of the early 1560s to an opportunistic struggle for power by the later 1570s and the early 1580s. In our next lecture, what we're going to see is how a random chance event, the death of the Duke of Anjou, the king's brother, would revive, in fact, would actually re-intensify the ideological struggle of the French Wars of Religion and bring it to new heights of destruction and suffering.